Hello and welcome to the Food for the Future podcast, broadcasting live from the World Food Forum headquarters in Rome, Italy. I'm Alexandra, your host, and I'm thrilled to introduce our new series called Meet the World Food Forum, where we will take you behind the scenes of our mission, our programs, and the amazing work we do. Today we are shining the spotlight on education program, core initiative that focuses on equipping young people with knowledge they need to understand and transform agri-food systems. Joining us today is Oisin Gill, Head of Education Program, who will share insights on how program inspires young minds to think critically about agri-food systems and their role in ensuring a better future. Without further ado, let's dive in. Oisin, thank you for joining us. You start by giving us an overview of the World Food Forum's education program and how it engages youth to think critically about agri-food systems and their role in shaping the future.
Hi, everybody. My name is Oisin Gill, and I'm leading the education program here at the World Food Forum. It's great to be here to talk with you all on what the education program is doing and our role to engage young people across the world. So, thank you. I think for the first part, you know, talking about the education's program mission to engage youth in transforming agri-food systems and sort of to give you a bit of an overview for that. The way we're working this year, so it's been interesting this year, the World Food Forum's education program is the first year that we've had a dedicated lead that's been focused on the activities, developing them around all year round. That's been my role to come in this year and to talk about that. And the way we've focused it is different age groups and different stakeholders that are involved in education. So our first stakeholder, if we look at the World Food Forum in general, is youth. We're talking about 18 to 35 year olds. So we look at that and we're looking at, through the education program and our activities, what capacity development, what the needs of 18 to 35 year olds are and how we can address them. But also using FAO and the technical offices and divisions as experts to be able to share their work and to give their work a platform for youth. So looking at that, we've used FAO's strategic framework this year of the four betters, so better production, better nutrition, better environment, and better life, to structure our capacity development sessions, first of all. And we've led them up from the beginning of the year, from the middle of the year, up until the flagship week where we'll have our final one in Better Life. So I would encourage all of you to go and look at those. We have all those recordings in our Youth Skills Hub. And this Youth Skills Hub is also one of the guiding elements for what we're doing in the education program. It's surrounded or sort of focuses on three pillars. And these three pillars guide some of our other stakeholder groups as well. But it looks at sort of, like I just mentioned, the learning sessions, the capacity development. And we're calling this the sort of masterclass pillar. And as I just mentioned, focusing on four betters and FAO's strategic framework, using the experts from FAO to deliver those sessions. So that's our first sort of element there, first pillar. Second pillar is then online resources, the online library that we have. And we're collecting resources, learning hubs, knowledge centers from FAO, within FAO, and then other UN agencies, including the Rome-based agencies, and also other UN partner agencies. And the resources there, the knowledge hubs, learning centers, are being gathered in that repository. And that's the second pillar, online library. And then the third pillar of the Youth Skills Hub is our career opportunities. And right now it's in that online library, that online space, where we're collecting everything that we're doing now and sharing it there. And these are similarly from FAO, internship opportunities, job opportunities, staff positions, and sharing them, as well as other UN agencies and other partner organizations. So those three pillars guide a lot of what we do. So that's the first target stakeholder groups, 18 to 35 year old youth. Second group then is educators. And similarly, we've started up an educators network this year that incorporates four pillars. It's similar to what we're doing with the young people in the Youth Skills Hub. First one being this capacity development learning sessions, and these we call teacher labs. Second then, and we've had two teacher labs this year, one where we're sharing information on behavioural science and behavioural change, and then the next one will be looking at Indigenous knowledge and incorporating that into contemporary education systems and how they can be sort of linked up. So that's our teacher labs. Second, then, we're looking at sharing opportunities. So we're looking at networking, developing a group space, of a collaboration space through our networking meetings where we invite people from across the world to share their work. Third, then, is our discussion space, which is just an open space for educators to teach and talk and share ideas. And then our third one is the resources that we invite educators to share. And this is, we have an online collection sheet where we invite people to share the information, that they share the projects that they're working on, the initiatives, and then for people to offer their interest in participating. So we've got our youth stakeholders, 18 to 35 in the education program. Then we're looking at our educators as well in the education program. Then there are several different other initiatives that feed into what we do. Other cohort groups, such as the Young Scientist Group. Then we've got challenges that we have throughout the year. So the Policy Liberation Challenge, the Youth Towards Zero Food Waste campaign, which consists of a hackathon, which is another challenge, but also several resources that we're developing. Then we're looking at our AgX Fair, which is another sort of challenge showcase where we showcase the work of agri-food systems educators around the world. And I think that's a bit of an overview.
Oshin, what are some of the key initiatives within the education program that are making a real difference in how young people are educated about the agri-food systems and the environment?
Throughout the year, we have our learning sessions. We have our master classes, we have our teacher's labs. These are things anybody can join at any time of the year. This is ongoing capacity development. But then we also have our signing up to challenges, initiatives, educational fairs and showcases, which include our AgX Fair, for example. So if you are an agri-food systems educator, and we talk about educators, we look at formal education, you know, people that are in schools, teachers that are in schools, that are working on agri-food systems projects. So do you have a vegetable plot in your school? Do you have food waste bins in your school? So we're looking at educators in the school system, but then we're also looking at non-formal educators. So people that are working in NGOs, that are working with young people, different civil society organizations that are working with, that are teaching others about agri-food systems projects in whatever capacity, across whatever sector. And then people who consider themselves in their own workplace, somebody that teaches. So for those projects, if you consider yourself as an educator in any of those categories, you can sign up to share your projects through the AgX Fair. So this year at the flagship, we have our first final showcase where we've invited people from across the world, from, first of all, Spain, Colombia, Bangladesh, Uganda, and Nigeria, five teams that have gone through a long process of peer review, of selection, judging criteria, of several semi-finals, and they've been selected out of a total of 90 project submissions to come here to showcase their work. So they will present to their representatives from their countries, as well as 100 other people in the main stage event here in FAO in Rome. So if you want to do something like that, please come along, sign up next year, share your projects with us. Absolutely look forward to seeing all of them. Then if you're more interested in something like food waste, for example, which I know is a very hot topic amongst young people, it's something that we can all tangibly do something towards. No matter where you're from in the world, food waste is a big issue. And we're talking about food waste specifically, we're not talking about food loss, but it is a big waste, no matter big problem, no matter where you are in the world. If you want to do something like that, we have a hackathon. So Food Waste Hackathon, which is part of our Youth Towards Zero Food Waste campaign, which we invite young people to share ideas, solutions on how they are addressing food waste in their school, in their community, in their organization, and share ideas that might work, that might be able to work with local stakeholders. So this year we've launched this. We've had lots and lots and lots of submissions. We've had to whittle them down, bring them down to a short amount, around 10 groups. They'll be coming here to showcase their final idea. But throughout the year, they've gone through mentoring. We've had mentors from within FAO, from outside of FAO, that have been able to help young people to adapt, to change, to update their ideas, and also then finalize them. Once these ideas have been sort of mentored, they've had some progression, they have a semi-final, and then we've seen those get shortened again, and we're inviting people to a final showcase and that hackathon showcase. So it's not a traditional hackathon in that we bring people together in a specific amount of time to sort of develop ideas, but it's taken more prolonged approach. But that'll be happening. If you're interested, if you have some food waste ideas, do let us know. We want to hear from you. We'll share the expression of interest for next year as well. Then we're looking at the Policy and Liberation Challenge, which is one of our final challenges that we'll talk about, and I'll share with you. And if you're interested, do let us know. But we're looking at sustainable agriculture, we're looking at sustainable water management, three different topics, policy areas where young people want to address, have ideas that they want to address across sustainable water management, healthy diets, and food waste. We've accepted loads of policy proposals. We've given these young people selected the best policy proposals. They've been mentored. They've gone through a similar process to our other challenges where they go through a semi-final after reviewing and refining their projects. And then they are coming here to showcase those policy ideas in front of policymakers that are making the decisions. So if you want to be a policymaker, if you've got a policy idea on any of those three areas, do let us know. We will share upcoming expressions of interest for the next year. But check out those three events. AgX Fair happening Tuesday, 15th of October on the flag and during the flagship. The hackathon, which happened on Thursday, 17th of October, and a policy deliberation challenge Tuesday, 15th of October as well. Check them out. Okay, so what to expect coming to the flagship for the education program? This is my third flagship. I've been here since 2022, started as a volunteer, and now this is, coming to my third flagship. Lots of excitement, lots of energy. Education program is packed this year. There's loads of events. So first of all, first day, grand opening, we're presenting, sharing more on what to expect in the education program for a brief snippet, sneak peek at the youth assembly opening there. So do check it out. Then if you're interested, once you're here for the exhibition space, there are several different exhibitions. I mentioned previously your AgX Fair, they'll be presenting in the atrium, our hackathon, we have a food waste booth. That'll be interesting if you're interested in food waste. We have our Youth Skills Hub, which I mentioned at the beginning, there's a booth there as well. So in the atrium, in FAO, in headquarters in Rome, check those out if you're here. If you're not, follow along online. We've got loads of other events as well. So our main events then, starting from Tuesday, we've got two main stage events. Big showcases, we're bringing young people, fresh ideas to Rome to present. First one in the morning, Policy Deliberation Challenge. Check that out, Sheikh Zayed, Policy Deliberation Challenge, sharing ideas from young people, as I've mentioned, across three topic areas, healthy diets, sustainable water management, and food waste. In the afternoon, then, for educators, for everybody who considers themselves an educator, if you're working in agri-food systems, projects in education, check out these unbelievable projects. We have five projects to showcase from across the world, from Spain, from Colombia, from Uganda, from Bangladesh, and from Nigeria. Do check it out, see how you can get involved, and if you're interested, who knows, you might be there next year. Wednesday, we have got a preparation. We've got several side events. Preparation for the big day, for our big day on Saturday, on Thursday, for what is my favorite event of the whole flagship, my third year doing it, the most exciting, most engaging school assembly this year in collaboration with Junior World Food Day. 1,000 students from ages 8 to 12, discovering, learning a little bit more about FAO. We've got a brilliant agenda. It's filled with musical ceremonies, but it's filled with quizzes, learning sessions, learning opportunities. And we have a very special guest performance for all of you basketball fans out there. We have got the Harlem Globetrotters coming to Rome. It should be fantastic. They'll talk about their work with FAO, so do check that out Thursday 17th. Then also on Thursday, we have our young scientists group, which are presenting their report, which has been a two-year-long process of developing research ideas, finalizing them, and now it's come to this, where it's been refined by senior management in FAO, by technical offices in FAO, and it's looking at youth engagement with digital technologies in agriculture. So our young scientist group, very talented group of young researchers, will be looking at that this year. And that's on Thursday as well. Other events happening around the flagship, we have our educators round table network, where we're discussing issues that educators can address. We're looking at better nutrition and the importance of camelids. We have got our Better Life Masterclass, which is the right to food and how we can protect it all and incorporating indigenous knowledge there. And we have several other events that are happening. So check it out online, check them out in person, be there.
Thank you so much for giving us an overview of all the events that will be happening at the World Food Forum this October. And I would like to ask you, is there any advice that you would like to give to young people who are willing to be part of World Food Forum initiatives?
So my advice for getting involved in World Food Forum. So I've been involved since 2022. Started as a volunteer, and I started working remotely. I followed along the very first flagship, which was online during COVID, and I found it was something extremely interesting. At the time, I was working with an NGO. I'd just graduated. I just finished university and my master's degree, and I was working with an NGO in Ireland, developing educational workshops and programs for young people on the SDGs. I came across the World Food Forum and the flagship event and thought it was really interesting how young people were the creators, the people running such an event, and really got behind the idea of young people getting involved. So I saw a call for volunteering, and that would be my first piece of advice. If you can get your foot in the door, no matter how, if it is feasible for you, because a lot of times it's not feasible for people to come here. I didn't come to Rome, but I was volunteering remotely. And that got me a way into the World Food Forum. So take the opportunities that can come. If there aren't any opportunities, ask people that are there. So I'm always open to answering questions to anybody. If you want to reach out to me on LinkedIn, no problem. So Oisin Gill. And hopefully my name is spelt on the title of this podcast. Otherwise, you might be able to spell Oisin, O-I-S-I-N. And secondly, then take all those opportunities that you can. So then I got involved and was a volunteer and was fortunate enough to come to the second flagship, which is the first one in person, and really got an experience of life in FAO, because up until that point, I'd worked for 6 months remotely, not really experiencing FAO. I was also working in another division, not solely for World Food Forum. And that was a great experience as well, because I was doing work for the World Food Forum, and then I was also doing work in other divisions in FAO, which really, really gave me lots of experience. And that would be something, if you do have an opportunity and you have the capacity and the ability within your workload, take the opportunities to explore and expand your knowledge if it's two different areas. I think the more, it's like your body when you're young, if you're playing sports. You know, if you play lots of different sports when you're younger, you can adapt and specialize better when you're older because your body has got all of these motor pathways, motor neuron pathways that have been developed from moving in different directions. And when you're older, you can specialize and you use those specialties. So when you're younger, do the same with your workload where possible. Expand to get little bits of information from as many people, from as many experts, as mentors as possible. So ask questions. There's another little bit of advice. Don't be afraid to approach more senior colleagues for advice. And then I think since then, coming back, I've been leading the education team since 2022. Since the beginning of this year, in 2024, since February. And it's been great. The World Food Forum, what it does for young people, which puts young people in a position that they're able to make decisions in a UN agency, which is not common across the UN agencies, is a shining light. And, you know, I think we have to be conscious of that young people are giving a real important opportunity here in the World Food Forum and to make a difference, to transform agri-food systems, and we've got the support from the organization to be able to do that right now. So we have to thank FAO for taking that and for giving us that opportunity to make a difference, to transform agri-food systems and show the power of youth.
That concludes today's episode of the Food for the Future podcast. For more updates from the World Food Forum, follow us on social media and visit our website at world-food-forum.org. Until the next time,